You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
2 weeks ago, not really many people had ever heard of Tommy Jordan. He was just an ordinary dad in North Carolina working in IT. And then he stumbled on a whiny, expletive-laden letter that his daughter had posted on her Facebook page. Whiny doesn't actually describe this letter, really. Any parent would call it shockingly disrespectful and totally wrong-headed, I think. So Tommy Jordan decided to post a reply on his daughter's Facebook page.
This is for my daughter, Hannah. And more importantly, for all her friends on Facebook who thought that her little rebellious post was cute. And for all you parents out there that think your, you know, kids don't post bad things on Facebook, well, I want to read you one. I took off my daughter's Facebook wall. She thought she'd be smart by blocking her parents and being able to see it.
Unfortunately, as I said, Tommy Jordan works in IT, and he was quite easily able to break through the non-friended status and see her page. 28 million people have already watched that video, so if you're one of them, you already know how this whole thing ends. After outlining just how disappointed and upset he is with his daughter, Tommy Jordan turns the camera toward her laptop.
This right here is my 45. That was the first round. One, two, three, four, five, six. Oh, yeah. And after that comment you made about your mom told me to be sure I put one there for her. So that one's from her. And if I got one left, I got two left.
That's right. He emptied his 45 into the laptop. Those bullets may have put her laptop out of commission, but they've sparked a conversation around the country, one that we've seen playing out in many places lately as parents begin to discover the way their kids behave online. A listener in Massachusetts says this: "Wow, I talk to my children. We have rules on whom they may contact. No computers in their rooms." And we got this message from the ever pragmatic Jillian in Florida: "The man was an idiot. He could have sold that laptop." Joining us now is KJ Delantonio, lead blogger for Motherload, which is the parenting blog of our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much for joining us, KJ.
Thanks. Hi. Good morning. Hi.
You know, I posted this on my own Facebook page and asked my friends to respond, and you would not believe the long, sometimes anguished posts I got back from my friends who are parents. This is something that people are really divided over.
It really is, and it's not just about the Facebook post. It's about the way he responded to it, of course.
Obviously, with a gun. What did you think?
Well, I knew the minute I heard about this that I was going to be more sympathetic than I would want to be. I'm not a gun person, although I grew up in the country and I grew up around them. It's the anger, I think, that a lot of us can relate to. The daughter's post was really, it was really of the hurtful kind of teenage rebellion. She really, said some negative things about her parents and about her dad. And I think that he responded. I don't think that he's, I think he responded with anger. I think that he responded that he was hurt. And I think if you watch this video, you look at this guy, honestly, I think he's about to cry.
Yeah, he's torn up about it. That's KJ Delantonio. Tonia, lead blogger for Motherload, also with us Dr. Michael Rich, who's a pediatrician at Children's Hospital in Boston and director of Harvard Center on Media and Child Health. And, doctor, I know that many experts tell us that we need to monitor our kids' online behavior very closely. I wonder if the problem here was the fact that he's punishing behavior with such an extreme reaction.
Oh, well, certainly. I mean, I think that what was in her Facebook post, as well as in, I'm sure, many adolescent Facebook posts, is the same thing that has been in their diaries for eons. The difference is that we're now in a whole different environment, that it's not the computer's fault, it's not the kid's fault, it's that you have a kid who is having feelings, who's working through issues that have gone on since time immemorial, but they're happening in an extraordinarily public and sticky place, in the sense that what goes online stays online and spreads very, very quickly.
And that really is kind of the issue. Let me go back to you, to KJ, because as a parent, the stakes when you post something online go incredibly high. There was a young girl who posted a very racist rant on YouTube and has now had to leave her school. She's had death threats because of it. Parents can be held legally responsible for what their kids post. I mean, doesn't that sort of change the game?
It does change the game. I'm not sure it's fully what's resonating for people with this. I think it's partly how public her response was, and obviously then how public he was able to make his response. How many of us have not, you know, snapped out an angry reply to a disrespectful child that maybe later we were not necessarily so proud of? And, you know, we don't put that online either. This is both her and him doing, you know, battling this out in a very public forum.
That's KJ Delantonio, lead blogger for Motherload, also with us, Dr. Michael Rich, a pediatrician at Children's Hospital in Boston. You know, and that really what she's talking about, what KJ's talking about there, doctor, is this anger that your kid would be so public with something that you wish was just an internal family affair, right? That she would insult not just you and her mother, but, you know, the woman who comes in and helps to clean their house, that she would turn this into a public display of really wrongheadedness. How does a parent respond to that then in a measured way to make sure it doesn't happen again?
With knowledge, with information. This is, I think, the crux of the issue of parenting in the digital age right now, which is that we have kids who are incredibly facile with the technology, who've grown up with it, who are in fact digital natives, being parented by digital immigrants who are in almost every case, several steps, if not many steps, behind their children, often by choice. They have checked out. I mean, this guy is in IT, so he knows technology. But many, many parents sort of have come to the, well, take your cell phone and go away and don't bother me, or, you know, take your computer in the back room as long as you're not, you know, out on the street causing trouble. I'm okay with what you do. And I think that what has happened is that the kids and the parents have come to this tacit belief that this is the private space for their children, yet it's the place that their children are spending more time and more of their sort of psychological focus and their development on than any other part of their existence, more than school, more than with their parents, et cetera. So I think what's happened is we have evolved into a place where we believe this is the kid's private space. And when it becomes real that the kid does not have the development, does not have the prefrontal cortex, the executive function of impulse control and future thinking and understanding of cause and effect and what we used to call superego or
otherwise known as maturity, right?
Yeah, that's one piece of maturity, absolutely. And we know that the human brain doesn't even get that stuff till the mid to late 20s now. So why do we expect them to act as an adult in that space?
That sounds like you're saying to restrict their access to to social media.
I wouldn't say, well, restrict is one choice. The other option is to have it be an open space where you're aware of what's going on.
Okay, well, let me put that to you then, KJ. How else could you solve this problem rather than just keeping your kids offline so they don't make stupid mistakes that are public?
Well, when you consider Facebook, a lot of the parents who responded to this post on our blog said that their children are only allowed to have a Facebook page if it's completely open, so that their response to finding a closed post would be to require their child to open it up and put it out there. And I suppose you'd hope to talk it through and then take it down. The difficulty, of course, in something like this is getting past the parental emotions to get to that stage of reasonable response.
And getting past your kid purposely trying to hide things from you, which it sounds like his daughter Hannah did.
Yes.
And there's not that much that we can do about it if we're not an IT professional that can break through.
No, although it doesn't sound like that what was happening here was particularly sophisticated. You can hide posts on Facebook, you can keep them public. You, as a parent, I think you can have the page set up in such a way that you can you can see everything. I know that I don't have teenagers, but I have a 10-year-old. He has an email account. Every single email that he gets comes through my account, no exceptions, no questions asked. As it happens, he hasn't questioned that. Sometimes he will. But, you know, I guess there comes a point when you have to be firm that that is the condition. If you're going to live your life openly online, it's got to be open to me, too.
KJ Dell'Antonia, lead blogger for Motherlode. That's the parenting blog of our partner, the New York Times. And Dr. Michael Rich, pediatrician at Children's Hospital in Boston, director of Harvard's Center on Media and Child Health. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, our listeners have been calling in on this conversation.
My name is Emmeline. I'm calling from Marblehead, Mass. I teach middle school, and some of my students, I would not mind taking their cell phones and shooting them up. They're kind of annoying.
We want to hear your take at 8778-MY-TAKE. You can post to the website at thetakeaway.org. You know, Celeste, I think that guy had 8 rounds into that laptop. It strikes me if he had a Glock, he could have had 17.
Always, ever practical, Todd's. But look, he paid for the laptop. I guess if he wants to shoot it, that's his prerogative, right?
Sure thing. Why not?
But we want to get your response to this for sure at 8778-MY-TAKE.
I'm Todd Zwillick.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.